broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
Congressman Supak, you are one big piece of human.
You care about the starving millions of African people in this country.
I care more.
You care about the farm workers.
Justice Stevens has courageously served his country from the moment.
Glenn Beck returns in a moment, but first, Chris Matthews, preview special report. Hi, Chris.
Brain.
That's very tough to swallow.
Famous Phil Hendrick Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the late night Truth Is Our Bitch news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Through the looking glass, the Alice in Wonderland journey of talk radio begins right now. The world famous Phil Hendrick Show. Our website is philhendrickshow.com. That's philhendrickshow.com. Affiliate spotlight tonight. We welcome on board in Seattle, Cairo, 97.3 FM, and in Myrtle Beach, WGTN, 1400 AM, Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Taking a look at you guys, we appreciate it very much that you're a part of our network. A producer with the popular CBS reality series Survivor has been released from custody in the death of his wife, whose body was found dumped near the couple's hotel in Mexico. You might have heard this story. The body of Monica Beresford Redman was found Thursday in a sewer at the lavish Hotel Moon Palace, where the couple had been staying with their two children. State prosecutors say the body showed signs of possible, and this is the state prosecutor in Mexico, possible strangulation, but they were waiting on the results of an autopsy to determine the cause of death. Her husband is 38-year-old Bruce Beresford Redman. He's not been charged with a crime, but was detained Thursday for questioning, according to Bello Rodriguez, the outgoing attorney general for Quintana Roo, the state of Quintana Roo, where Cancun is located. Now, this man is a longtime reality television show producer. He works with the TV show Survivor. And we're going to bring on the line now Brad Rifkin, who is in the advertising business in Las Vegas, Nevada, but also has been involved in pitching and producing television shows for a number of years. And he joins us on our newsmaker line in Las Vegas this evening. Brad, thanks for joining us. And how are you this evening, first of all?
I'm doing good, Phil. I'm sorry to hear the news of the miners in West Virginia. It's a very sad story.
It very sad, and a very poignant quote there from the governor on the journey ending.
Yeah, well, our thoughts are with the families. This story in Mexico is a different kind of story. This is a story about a producer, a TV producer. This man, Mr. Redman, who is a producer on Survivor, he was also involved in some other television shows, though some other reality shows that I'll get for you in a minute, but a number of shows, significant shows, so he knows the reality game. He also is a man who obviously is involved in producing reality television shows for a long time. So the problem, I think, and that I think the evidence is going to show if this man did this, and we don't know.
Well, that's what I wanted to say. As a matter of fact, we mentioned that he has been released from custody. He was taken into custody, I guess it was yesterday or maybe the day before, when this young lady's body was found, Mrs. Redman, and the attorney general for the state down there in Cancun has released him, but he can't leave the country.
Right. So I don't know if this man is guilty. I can tell you, though, Phil, having been around television programs for a long time, the pressure of coming up with these ideas. Reality television show is a very popular, it's a very, very popular genre. People love to look at these reality shows.
We don't know if this guy's guilty or anything, okay?
No, I understand that. I understand that. But this is a significant story from this standpoint. I know that Hollywood has a history of murder and associated crimes like that. And they aren't all committed by members of the industry. But the reality TV phenomenon is such a pressure-packed phenomenon. Producing these TV shows like Dispatch, Dancing with the Stars, American Idol, Survivor, on and on and on it goes. And you've got to come up with these ideas. So you're living with it all the time. I had said to Jim Carson, who's a very good friend of mine and of yours as well, and he does a lot of producing.
I know Jim, yeah. And he does a lot of reality TV show producing.
Right. And he said to me that, and he had been involved with this guy Redman on Pimp My Ride, which is the show that was on as well.
Right.
And he said to me that you live with it because the networks like the success of these shows. They don't cost a lot to make, and they make a lot of money. So you're living morning, noon, and night, a 24-hour clock of coming up with ideas, thinking up new scenarios, coming up with new documents on different scene structure all the time. If this man, Bruce Redman, had anything to do with the death of his wife, I'm telling you right now, more than anything, the culprit is not so much Bruce, is it's the show. And it is the, literally, the show itself becomes a living thing.
I hope you're not constructing some Twinkie defense here. You know what I mean?
I'm not going to say that this guy is not responsible for his actions. But I, in a way, when you are living with a woman and you're down in Cancun, Mexico, and you produce a TV show called Survivor, and you're living with this television show, you may be on vacation, but you're living with this TV show. You know that come Monday, you're back in Los Angeles, you're back in staff meetings, you're back in programming meetings, you're back in a meeting with the network, you're back in a meeting with the studio, you're back in a meeting with the host, you're coming up with ideas. The doorbell rings, it's room service. You suddenly feel almost as if you are on the show. That another to get immunity, you got to answer that door. She answers the door before you. You strangle her.
And what are you talking about? Are you talking about the actual show?
The way the show is structured, and people that are listening right now will tell you, the way the show is structured, the competition level is so high. The competition is very already real for the producers and for the advertisers. That if you're a producer and you're trying to take a week's vacation and you have this reality television reaction that we've been talking about where you suddenly you don't know if you're on the show or you're taking a vacation and you feel that a knock on the door means it's immunity for you.
So you're telling me that Mr. Redman is suffering from some kind of a psychotic hallucination or delusion that he's on the show.
Look, Survivor takes place, this is what I'm telling you, Survivor takes place in very exotic locations, Panama, Borneo, Samoa. It's very possible he thinks he's on a set of Survivor Cancun, or maybe he thinks he's on a set of the other shows, because he lives and he breathes that show. He's in a tropical location, you understand? Why do you think he picked a tropical location to go to for the vacation?
Well, I mean, I love Cancun. Everybody loves Mexico.
Yeah, I know, but if you're living it 24-7, you're in Borneo, you're in Samoa, you're in Panama, you're in these other, why would you go there for vacation?
I guess you like it. I don't know.
You not only do you like it, but you live it. You live it. You not only like it, but you live it. Bruce hears a knock on the door. He thinks that he's on the show. Somehow he's going to get immunity if he goes to the door and answers the door first. The wife does. He grabs her by the... I don't know how he strangles her and somehow throws her out a window or something. Now, this is a... I don't know what happened, but I'm saying to you, if that's the case, and it's very possible it is, do you really give a man like that the death penalty? Or do you give him the very best psychiatric care that you can provide him with and get him back on his feet? And this does not excuse the act, understand?
Well, if you say that the guy kills his wife as the result of some delusion, which is what you're talking about, right?
It's a delusional state, yeah.
Where he thinks that he's on the TV show Survivor, and he kills his wife, and he gets psychiatric help, and he's back on his feet. What does back on his feet mean?
I mean he's back on his feet where he is cognizant, he's thinking clearly again, his mind is not subject to this personality disintegration, these hallucinations. And he can be a part of society again and be a part of what he does so well, which is to create these very entertaining shows, and which, by the way, as I said, they don't cost a lot to make. They make a lot of money for the producers. This is a valuable skill. I don't know what people think of employees that they may have or other people that save their company money, but when you're a Bruce Redman or you're any producer who says, let's do a reality show where we can have, it's not going to cost as much because you don't have to pay the act. You're not paying actors, say, SAG wage. You're paying, what you're basically doing is you're paying amateurs who go on these shows and try to act like they're, you know, they try to act like they're actors, but they're not. And I know that there's been a problem over the last few years. They're telling these people on these Survivor shows and these other shows, look, just don't ham it up. You know, please don't ham it up.
Oh, they've mentioned that, huh? Because I know that's always been a pet peeve of mine.
Oh, yeah, they told her, will you stop hamming it up? But if Bruce is guilty of murder, there is no doubt that the jury should give him some psychological service and a very, very light sentence in a minimum security prison so he can produce more of these shows, so he can be a benefit. And that's all I'm trying to say.
Well, you're already presenting a defense for this man that has him walking free in a few years.
I don't know in a few years. I'm just telling you. If he did it, it's very likely it was the result of having been chained to this show for so long, this Survivor show, that seeps into your brain, seeps into your mind, that he thought he was on the show. He strangled his wife. And I have to believe that even his wife, if she could speak to us from beyond the grave, would say, you know, you can't blame Bruce. I understand why he killed me, and, you know, it's not a pleasant thing, but almost if she was speaking, if I were him, I would have killed me. You know, I don't know what...
Well, I wonder why he didn't commit suicide or something like that.
Because nobody on Survivor commits suicide. You understand it's a delusion? He thinks he's on Survivor.
All right, hold the line. Brad Rifkin with us. He's an advertising executive and a part-time, sometime producer for television. Bruce Redman, the producer of Survivor, one of the producers of Survivor, was arrested, taken into custody by Mexican police and released in the investigation of the death of his wife, Monica Beresford Redman. And it is Brad's idea or thought that if Bruce killed his wife, it was a reaction, some kind of a delusion he was under, that he was actually on the TV show Survivor and had to kill her. And it's a psychiatric condition, and he should be allowed to walk after psychiatric treatment. We'll get to your phone calls, and I realize that what we're laying on you guys basically is another Dan White Twinkie defense kind of concept. These things always leave me a little more than a little suspicious. Your thoughts and more with Brad Rifkin. We come back on the Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
I don't know. I said all of that, did I?
Yeah.
Wow.
Let me be as clear as I possibly can. There is no reason in the world we live in today, just as there was no reason in the world that people lived in 100 years ago, not to have a gun in the house, not to know how to use it, not to be as proficient as you can in the use of that weapon, not to know how to use it. No, there's no reason at all why people everywhere shouldn't own guns. Guns have been effectively elevated to the level of a black magic talisman that draw evil spirits. Well, that's not the case. I'm here to tell you folks, you'll be happy to know, that a gun is a collection of components and parts that does a certain thing if it's operated properly. To wit, if somebody's crawling through a bedroom window, you can blow their freaking head off with it. How about that? But you're made to feel ashamed, you're made to feel like you're a criminal, and let's not forget you're a right-wing gun nut. If you ask, may I exercise my constitutional right and own a gun? Yeah, nursing homes ought to have them, schools ought to have them, malls ought to have them, homes should have them, conceal and carry should be allowed on campuses. Oh yeah. And this other argument that is about as feckless as it gets, which is the following. If everybody has a gun, it'll be a Wild West show. So what you're saying then, in other words, is you're affirming the superstition that the gun creates some voodoo that makes the person want to be violent. Is that it? So are we back now to video games create violence?
Show.
877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877 advertising business, the television business, a lot of different businesses. We have this man, Brian Sherman, and it's a very it's one of those stories, you know, that you figure you're going to see on Investigation Discovery. You know what I mean, Brad?
Oh yeah, it's got all of the earmarks of a Hollywood mystery.
What are the chances? I mean, we're talking about this guy, Mr. Sherman. What is his name now? What is his name?
His name is Bruce Redman. Bruce.
Oh, I'm sorry, Bruce Redman. We're talking about it like he's guilty, you know?
Well, no, I know that, but I don't know who did this. But I'm looking at these murders that take place with the wives winding up dead, and a lot of times the husbands do it. I mean, more often than not, the husbands do it, you know? Why do they do it? Is it because she went and she got pregnant? You can talk for years about the reasons a man kills his wife, and you might even have sympathy. I mean, I'm not saying murder is the way to go, you know.
Of course not.
No, but I'm saying if he hadn't killed her, you might have had sympathy. I should probably is what I'm saying. She got pregnant. It's the wrong time, you know. You're just starting to move with your career. You're just starting to move with a lot of things that you're going to do, and here she pops up pregnant, or she wants to move, she this, that. And all of a sudden, you find your hands around her throat, and you are throwing her through a window. I hate to say that. It's a horrible thing.
It's terrible. And the way you're putting it, he's not responsible.
The reason why I say that, Phil, is the nature of these TV shows. Look at the people that watch them. If the people that watch these shows think that they're actually in the show, look at the average Survivor viewer or the person that watches that Pimp My Ride or, you know, whatever these shows. He thinks he's some kind of a jungle. He's a jungle man. You know, he's Tarzan. Well, think of what it does to the producers. And the producers sit there week after week living in the reality of Survivor so that when that door knocks, Or the doorbell rings, and it's a guy with room service. All he's doing is he's bringing breakfast, and you think you need to answer the door for immunity, and you don't know what's behind the door, and you find yourself with your hands around your wife's throat, and before you've even really awakened fully for the day, you've broken her neck. Why?
Because you think you're on the TV show Survivor?
Because you're the producer of the TV show Survivor, and you think you're on a TV show. You know, my wife looked like Stephanie, who was a contestant this season on Survivor, Heroes versus Villains. I don't know if you saw it.
No.
So I can understand how this murder, because my wife looked a lot like my wife, and you know Amy.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
Right, she looked a lot like Stephanie. And I there were days when I felt like I could, because I didn't like Stephanie at all. And I wanted to, you know, strangle her, but I wouldn't do it.
Well, what do you mean you wanted to strangle her? See, what you're doing is you're giving an excuse here.
I'm not giving an excuse.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you are. Let me go to a phone call here, because I want people want to check in on this. Our number, 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. And here is Rita. Rita, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Brad Riff.
I was just listening to the show, and I've never done this before, but if Survivor produces murders, the show should be done away with totally.
Well, that's a very interesting thought.
Well, we don't know that that's the case, though, ma'am.
We don't, but...
I know.
Saying,
he was just... He was like
what
playing
that. Well, I think what you're saying is I love Survivor, but I hated Stephanie. Did you ever watch the show? I said I liked Survivor, but I hate Stephanie, who was a contestant on Heroes and Villains. Survivor, Heroes and Villains. I hated her, and I could see strangling my own wife because I hated Stephanie because my wife looked like her. Now that's dangerous. And if you, Rita, are you married?
No.
All right. If you're ever with a man or a husband and you look like a woman that's on Survivor who is one of these, excuse me for using the word, one of these bitches, you know what I mean. And the guy looks at the show, and then he looks at you, and you, next thing you know, you're on your first date with a man who's got his thumbs on your Adam's apple. And you don't know, you know, why.
All right. Rita, thanks for your call. You're painting a pretty scary scenario here, Brad. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Brad Rifkin and the story of Mr. Redman here in Survivor, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
I mean, I didn't even want to scare or anything, you know.
Phil is the number. Coming up, a mom says her son threatened Nancy Pelosi because of Fox News. Right now we have Brad Rifkin. Brad is with us in Las Vegas as we talk about the, you know, the story here in Cancun, Mexico, of the wife of one of the producers, a television producer, and a man who produces, one of the producers of Survivor. His name is Bruce Beresford Redman. His wife, Monica Beresford Redman, she was found dead near the hotel yesterday. It's a terribly tragic story, Brad.
Well, and that's the point. I'm trying to anticipate here that if this was done by Bruce, you know, I don't want people to think the guy's an animal. I want people to understand that as it's understandable if you produce a show, you're living with a show, and you're thinking about the show, and you're it's a jungle show, and you're in jungles, and you're in survival mode, and next thing you know, you've snapped a woman's neck while you're thinking about, you know, plot scenarios and meetings with advertising executives. I mean, that's how quick it can happen. And
well, what about the contestants? What about the people that are on the show? Do they go home? Are they going to live like this?
No. The contestants, I don't think, are a problem because they're actually playing. They're actually in the show. But the producer, if they go home and they kill someone, they don't have an excuse because, well, you were just in the show, now you're done with the show, now you're in reality. But if a producer who's never really given that outlet, he's got to sit on that chair behind the camera and watch as everybody else gets to be on television, and he doesn't get to, the pressure builds up to the point where you think you're on the show. Your mind has to be on television, and so before you know it, you're looking at a body laying at the foot of some stairs, and you go, that's my wife. How did she get there?
You think it was like that, huh?
I'm not saying it happened. If he did it, yeah.
So if you go before a judge, I mean, you're going to need a psychiatrist.
Well, yeah, I think any competent psychiatrist is going to see this as a post-traumatic stress disorder, having sitting behind a camera and not being able to be on TV the way these, you know, let's face it, a bunch of losers get to be on TV and you don't, and you're a producer, that's going to cause post-traumatic stress syndrome disorder, and you're going to, so any psychiatrist that knows about it will talk to the court about it.
You're talking about PTSD.
Yes, sir.
877, so this man, the producer of this TV show, may be suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder because he is not on the TV show the way these other people are.
That is my belief, yeah.
877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Henry Show. Here is Todd in Hollywood. Todd, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead.
Yeah, his name is Brad Rifkin. Is that what his name is?
Yes, sir. This is Brad. How are you?
No, I'm Todd.
You asked me if I'm Brad. Yes, sir. This is Brad. How are you?
Hi. How are you doing? My name's Todd, and I've been listening to what you're saying, and I think that you're completely off base. Like with your statements that you're making, they don't make any sense as far as psychiatric conditions are concerned. I know you have a background in advertising, but you don't have a background in psychiatry. And he didn't suffer a traumatic event that would cause any PTSD. basically what happened is, yeah, his, the show may have been stressful, but I don't think he was jealous or envious or trying to get into the position of the actors on the show and feel like he was missing out, okay? But even, let's say, he was stressed out.
What are you basing that on? What are you basing that on? What are you basing that on? See, I worked in television.
That's what, okay.
You know.
That's what I'm saying.
You're saying?
What I'm saying is, no, see, I'm trying to prove that your assessment is baseless. You don't have any, like, you're just...
I'm telling you that I know when you sit behind the camera and you're looking at a bunch of losers who get to be on TV and you don't, you get stressed. Suddenly you transport yourself into the jungle motif.
You transport yourself.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't make any logical sense. Like, all of us... Okay.
All right, well, are you a doctor, sir? Are you a doctor? Are you a
No, but neither are you. And that's what I'm saying. Is, yeah, you're making,
no,
you're
but
making,
I work in the medium, and I don't know what you work. I work in the medium. Do you work in the medium, at least?
In the entertainment business, yes, but not in television.
Yes.
Okay. But here's the main point that really irked me, that what you said,
wow,
is that he needs to be rehabilitated, okay? And once he's rehabilitated and is better, he needs to get back out there and continue producing his show, these shows, because that's what he's good at. Well, if him producing these shows caused him to kill his wife, then why the hell would he need to get back out there and do these things
anymore? No, I don't know, but I'm saying once he is made whole again, and
okay,
is not delusional about, he's not waking up and looking at his wife in a sewer.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I think the man.
And then at that point,
Can I just jump in, guys? This
yeah,
man's not guilty yet.
Well, then you're right about that. Yeah.
I mean, we've got this man already killing his wife, and we don't know. But go ahead, Todd.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I'm not presuming guilt at all either. But like you said, we are presuming that he did do it, and the reason for him doing it was that this show had some contributing factor. The last thing that
right,
he needs to do is be in reality television anymore. He needs to start, you know, joining a knitting circle or something. You know?
That sounds, I mean, makes sense. Huh?
Well, you can laugh, Mr. Henry, but this is what this man does, and I would hope that what we would do is rehabilitate him so that he's not, going loony.
Look, if you are so messed up that you kill someone, this is going to take some rehabilitation.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't. What do you mean? It's
no,
going to take some rehabilitation?
Yeah, and nobody's going to let him back in reality television. If you know, look at what happened to that one guy who murdered, the Fiore girl. You know, and after that happened, I mean, people now the clearance
about
to get in. You're not going to be able to work in that field anymore if you're guilty. You know.
Well, not if they rehabilitate him so that he's not going. For instance, Todd, if you and I were sitting together in a diner and I made you angry enough in this conversation that you found yourself suddenly, you broke my neck and I'm laying on a sidewalk and you don't remember how it happened, wouldn't you feel that you'd at least like to tell the judge that you went into some kind of a psycho state and then they could, fix it and you'd be out?
What are you saying,
well,
man?
Yeah,
you just presented a hypothetical to this guy. I don't even know how you could answer that, Todd.
Well, he was about to. Let the man answer.
No. I mean, of course, a legal team is always going to, pursue an insanity defense when given the option to do that,
right,
and blame it on a psychological state. And correct, that could, get you out of, having to do a long prison term,
right,
or a death penalty. But on the same
right,
token, even
right,
with rehabilitation, people are not going to let you back into a field that...
Into reality TV show,
for.
Yeah, that's
exactly.
That's what your point
not,
was, Todd. It's a good point.
You're not going to get back in reality TV, yeah.
All right, thanks so much for your call, sir. 877-876-PHIL.
Well, he didn't make his point at all. All right, I'm out of prison, and they say, you're the guy who strangled your wife. Yes, but I'm, the old Laurel and Hardy line that people laugh at, but it's true, I'm better now.
And I remember what Oliver Hardy said. You're better now. He was being extremely sarcastic when he said that, because the fact is, how do you say you're better from murdering somebody?
If you didn't premeditate it, you don't know about second degree murder. They don't keep you. They don't put you in the death house for that. They let you out.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Moving on to another phone call here as we talk to Brad Rifkin about Bruce Redman and the death of his wife in Mexico. Adam, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Brad Rifkin. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I'm just not sure that standing behind the camera can create PTSD in a human being. I mean, PTSD comes about, as far as I understand it, when you're overpowered by something that's stronger than you and you have no way out. You just have to deal with that idea and that feeling of being completely overpowered by something external.
Exactly.
And I'm just not sure that standing behind a camera, I mean, you may long and maybe even fetishize about being in front of the camera, but as far as that creating some type of stressful situation or some type of psychosis, I don't know. I'm not really buying that idea.
I will tell you, if I can explain this, Phil.
Go ahead.
I think Bruce has got to get back. Brian's got to get back to Survivor. It's a classic show, and it's a moneymaker for CBS. They can't afford to lose him. That's number one, and I'm sure the gentleman understands the nature and business when an earner, a man who is an idea guy for your company, and he's gone. But to sit there and have all of those great ideas, and I've known this guy for years.
You don't remember his name?
It's Brian. To sit there and have these great ideas, and then you're looking at losers that they picked out of a cattle call audition, and they get all the love, right? That's going to cause a man to, you keep it in, and you keep it in, and you keep it in, and the next thing you know, your wife is laying under a car.
Right.
How did it happen? What happened?
I understand that, man, but at the same time, like, PTSD is based around survival and survival instincts. Like, you're in your survival mode and you're overpowered. So, I mean, but the thing is that this guy is such a great ideator or whatever he is, standing behind the camera.
If he was a producer,
right, I understand. But if he really wanted to be in front of the camera, then he and some of his ideating producer friends could come up with a team to get him in front of the camera.
It's not hard to get in front of a camera for a producer, Brad.
Well, if you're a good producer and you don't have an ego trip going, you're not going to put yourself in front of the camera because it's going to hurt the product. A lot of these producers want to stick themselves in front of a camera because they got an ego trip. But this guy is a good one. And so he sits there knowing I'm good, so I can't put myself in front of the camera, even though I know I'm better than these losers. I still don't want to do it, and now he's resentful because he's looking at one loser after the next, going on American Idol, and after they leave Survivor, they're on all these shows, and they write books, and they're in movies, and he's got to sit there, and he's got to suck on it day in and day out until finally that day arrives that his wife is sitting in a chair with no head.
Right.
Now, that will scare the hell out.
What do you mean, no head, man? What is that?
I'm talking the violence of the... Well, what is the gentleman laughing at?
They didn't find her with no head.
Did they find her in a sewer?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better, huh?
I mean...
No, it's not better. I just...
I'm telling the gentleman that you need to understand... I know it doesn't seem like you could get post-traumatic stress disorder, whatever they call it, but when you're in Hollywood and you're looking at a guy like a Richard Hatch, let's say, that gay guy who is a thief and a liar. Boy, you talk about a guy getting every break. Or that Stephanie, who's really hot, but she's not going to have sex with him, which is the other thing, too. You get all these hot-looking women, and they won't touch you with a 10-foot pole, and you're a producer.
And that's going to cause PTSD.
Well, I mean...
Right, I think so.
Yeah.
All right.
It sounds like the line of the argument is kind of more along the lines of video games causing school violence.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. It sounds like an excuse.
Not so much.
It sounds like an excuse. Thank you very much, Adam. We got to take a break. You see what the guy's saying?
No, I don't. What are you talking about? Video games cause violence.
It sounds like an excuse. It sounds like that lady saying that Fox News caused her son to threaten Nancy Pelosi.
Well, Mr. Henry, are you saying that outside environmental stimulus?
No, but we're learning now as a culture that we can't keep blaming media. And
this isn't media. He's there. It isn't like he's watching TV. He's there. He's looking at this piece of tail that he just cast in the show, and he's thinking, we're breaking for lunch. I got the best trailer, and she won't come near it. Thanks a lot.
Well, you know what? I mean, I can understand what you're saying, but I don't think you call that post-traumatic stress syndrome, that an actress is not going to have sex with you because you're a producer. We're talking about Bruce Redman, the producer, one of them for Survivor. His wife was found dead in Cancun. He was brought in for questioning. He's been released, but he's been told he cannot leave the Cancun area. He cannot leave Quintana Roo, the state, in Mexico, where he was brought in for questioning because they may have some more questions. 877-876-PHIL. Brad Rifkin with us, saying that this is the result of his post-traumatic stress syndrome of producing Survivor, but not getting to be on the show. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
That's Survivor, not your show.
I didn't say my show.
Yeah, you did. He doesn't have post-traumatic stress.
All right.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Our number is 877-876-PHIL as we talk here with Brad Rifkin, an advertising executive and television producer in Las Vegas tonight, about this very tragic story in Mexico, the death of Monica Beresford Redman, the husband, Bruce Beresford Redman, a 38-year-old producer on the TV show Survivor. We don't know. This man's not guilty. He hasn't been found guilty. He's been talked to by the police.
Absolutely.
But you were talking about this. If he were to be found guilty, he would have he would have a good case in post-traumatic stress syndrome. And again, you've heard people say, you're a TV producer who you're not on camera. Is that really that stressful?
Well, I'll give you an example, Phil. There was a contestant on Survivor by the name of Colby. Now, here's Bruce, what's his last name?
I thought you said the man's a good friend of yours.
Yeah, he's a very dear friend. Redman, I keep thinking of the maiden. He's got a hyphenated name, and this kid Colby is on the show. Now the kid goes on to go on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he becomes kind of a star. And there's Bruce. You see, when you're a producer and you're stuck eating craft services, and there's a woman in the morning saying, "You want an omelet?" And meanwhile, Colby gets to go to his dressing room, and who knows what they got, some piece of tail that they got sitting there. So, yes. Now I can tell you, Mr. Henry, that the tragedy of this is that Bruce is on a TV show where they often deny people food. And I think that when the doorbell rang for room service, he felt he was in an episode of Survivor where he was going to win food if he answered the door first, and he didn't. And he twisted his wife's head like they, if you've ever seen what they do with chickens, all the way around. I don't know.
You don't know what happened to her.
Well, I can well imagine just twisted it, around in like they do in a circle, if you've ever seen it in the movies. And that's the horror of this,
You didn't see her. You don't know what happened. And to speculate like that is gruesome. And post-traumatic stress syndrome, because one of the kids on the show went on to become, he went on Curb Your Enthusiasm, to me, is it doesn't sound like a very professional producer.
But he said he's eating craft services.
All right, so he's got to eat craft services. I guess that's the lot of a producer. Here is Jim in Boston, Massachusetts, listening on WTKK. Jim, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Brad Rifkin.
How you doing?
Yes, sir.
Want to let him know.
How you doing?
All right. I just want to let you know that, Brad, you're so far off base on this, and you know, the message that you're really sending out is just, it's really not, that wise for what you're saying. Me, personally, I do suffer from PTSD, and I'll tell you right now, it's definitely nothing related to from sitting behind a camera, and that's just clearly not something that would trigger PTSD. I mean, I don't know, maybe you should go down to, like, some of the veteran shelters and ask them guys if you compare what they're going through.
Oh, yeah, no, I know about that. Yeah, I did a movie once. Yeah, I did a movie once about a guy that had the flashbacks, and he went and he twisted a guy's head and everything. And,
I don't want to hear about your movie, okay? We're talking to a gentleman here that suffers from this.
I'm saying that,
as far as your point you're making, it's completely, insane. I mean, this guy, if anything, for the reason that he killed somebody would be, if in fact he did, we don't even know this, but if this guy didn't kill his wife over something like this, this is more of a delusional situation. Clearly nothing that, that stems from PTSD or anything relevant to that. If you'd even make that statement. And then to follow it up, you're rambling on about, you know, about him being back in the field and he's missing out on things. You're talking about a woman's death here. That's somebody's mother, their sister, their daughter. And your primary concern is that this guy's going to get back into the camera industry. If he killed this woman, you know, he should be, they should be filming him getting fried. That did what they should do with the camera.
Yeah, but if he thought that he was actually on the TV show Survivor, if he thought he was delusional, like you were saying, they thought he was on Survivor, and the next thing you know, he twisted it, you know, like they do with the head that goes all the way around, that's a sickness.
What is it with you and twisting the head around?
Because you don't know. I mean, I don't know how she died. But this gentleman I'm talking to, I'm very interested. Was you in a war or something?
Let's not be intrusive, okay?
I'm just curious.
I'd rather, if you don't want to talk about it, Jim, you don't have to. You don't have to talk about it, Jim. You don't believe me.
Well, I wanted to write a script about a guy that comes back from Iraq, and you know, and he has a flashback. See, and
look,
yeah, well, I mean,
Brad, I'm not interested in your. We're not.
You're talking about two different situations here. I mean, you're talking about someone. What's he flashing back to? There's nothing even relevant.
He's flashing back to the piece. He's flashing back to the piece of tail that he could have had that this Kobe had. He's flashing back
with a poster.
That's got nothing to do with exactly. I will be Phil Henry show.
Flashing back to a piece of tail that he can't have.
Exactly. He could have had.